From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I'm finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, as we offer our Mass for our nation, thinking about the reality that will set in tomorrow, that one of these two less than totally pleasing candidates is going to be our leader for the next 4 years, we and so many of the people to whom we'll minister will be discouraged. And we'll be wondering what we can do. And God today and the Word of God gives us answers to both of those questions when we get below the surface of the readings. This is one of the more challenging Gospels in an affirming age in which we grew up watching Stuart Smalley reruns on Saturday Night Live, that we're good enough, we're strong enough, and doggone it, people like us. Today's words from Jesus seem almost cruel. You have an exhausted servant who has come in from laboring all day under the hot sun. He just wants to rest. But in this image, Jesus says, would not the master of the servant in that circumstance say, "Wait on me first, and you can eat and drink and relax when I'm done"? And then Jesus draws a moral of the story, which flies so counter to our softness and our desire to have a pat on the back. Jesus says, so should it be with you. When you've done all that you've been commanded, simply say, "We're unprofitable." The Greek word there is useless servants. We've only done what we were commanded to do. How is this part of the good news? What Jesus is driving at here is an immediate sequel to yesterday. You remember yesterday's gospel because you hunger for every word that drops from God's mouth. Yesterday's gospel was all about setting good example rather than scandalizing. It was all about forgiving infinitely and never stopping. It was about what we need to do to increase in faith. And Jesus gives this parable to buttress those three points, to help us to discover what our motivation ought to be in our faith, so that we will always be setting a good example, continuing to persevere in giving to others the mercy that we've received, and precisely to give us the means by which we can grow in faith until that faith becomes all-consuming. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, with words that we hear every Ash Wednesday, Jesus says, don't fast, don't pray, don't give alms, so that others will see it. Know that your Father sees it, and He'll reward you. Don't be looking for your reward in this world. Do it out of love for God, knowing He who sees everything done, even in secret, will repay you. After we've worked so hard, after we're exhausted, after we think, Has it amounted to anything? We have been striving so hard for a culture of life. And we've got a corrupt and a vulgar person running to represent us to the entire world. Has it all been a waste? Jesus is telling us today, no. He's also telling us, keep going. We haven't been doing our work just for an election. We haven't been doing it to win the applause of everyone. Keep persevering in serving the Lord, in building His kingdom, because an eternity awaits when He who washed our feet at the Last Supper will gird Himself with an apron, as He Himself said, proceed to wait on us forever in heaven. This gospel is about our motivation. Even though we're humbly supposed to say, with gratitude, we're useless servants, you don't really need us, Lord. At the same time, God wants to give us the help so that we will become good and faithful servants, truly useful for Him, because we're doing it not for ourselves, but precisely for Him. He's going to be the one who allows us to come in from the field and not think that our master is long delayed, so that we can begin to behave in ways inconsistent with the kingdom that could scandalize others. Rather, He's the one who wants us always to be vigilant that He's there, and so we will be doing at all times what we ought to be doing, because we're true, loving, grateful, humble servants of that King. What are we to do as we continue to serve perseveringly in this way? St. Paul describes some of the virtues we need and our culture needs in today's first reading in his letter to Titus. I know you love Titus so much, and I hate to break the news that we only get Titus for 2 days and 2 years. So we had him yesterday and we have him today, and it's important to see the virtues that St. Paul was trying to encourage in the early church, where Titus was in Crete, but also the virtues that are so needed in every age. St. Paul describes the virtues that Titus needs, that old men need, that old women need, and that young people need. These are virtues that span the generations, and our culture needs these to be able to come back to what it needs in order to be able to transmit virtue. Let's look at some of them. Say what is consistent with sound doctrine. That we have to pass on what's sound for living. A lot of the times we have been too ashamed to pass on the truth, as if it's bad news rather than good. It's one of the reasons why we're in the situation that we are. Old men, including old men with lots of hair, mopped over from one side to another, need to be temperate. Temperate means not just with regard to food and alcohol. Temperate means with regard to all our passions. Some of the times we need to learn how to bite our tongue in order to be able to live with each other so that we don't tear each other apart. Dignified, that we remember where our dignity comes from, where others' dignity comes from. Behave in a way consistent with our and others' dignity. Self-controlled, that we can govern ourselves. We're never going to be able to govern others if we can't govern ourselves. Sound in faith, so we're firmly rooted. We understand what it is. Sound in love, that we've really made a plan for it, and it's not something that wavers depending upon the mood we are, or whether something randomly hits us to which we can respond with kindness. Endurance, makrothumia, my favorite Greek word, that we'll be able to persevere through it all. What an incredibly important virtue that is. St. Paul says that these are the ones that Titus needs, an apostle needs, if he's ever going to be able to serve others consistently and perseveringly. Older women should be reverent in their behavior, revering God and others, not slanderers, because gossip is when we become Cain to our brothers Abel by our tongue, and we live in a gossip culture which so often brings up to the surface things that are not relevant except for character assassination. And that's one of the reasons why Pope Francis condemns this sin more than any other, because it really corrodes interpersonal relations when we hurt each other in that way. Not addicted to drink. He's talking about old women in this context, but just when we see elderly drunks, there's nothing sadder that over the course of years, people just haven't learned proper sobriety. It's one thing when kids haven't learned it, still something we need to work at, but when seniors are drunkards, it's just a sign that they've never really learned over the course of time self-mastery that's necessary. And we know various forms of addiction. Teaching what is good. A lot of the times we teach what not to do, but we don't make the beauty of the good appear in all its beauty. How important that is for us in the transmission of the faith, to show the splendor of the truth lived, so that they may train younger women to love their husbands and children. To train is more than just to teach. It's supposed to be a school, and we need consistently to take that school seriously, because so many older women haven't excelled in that. That's where your spiritual maternity has to fill the gap, sisters. To be self-controlled, again, that same type of discipline, chaste, so that they can love purely, good homemakers, that they see that type of so-called useless service in a radically feminist age as a beautiful gift to God and to others, so that the Word of God may not be discredited. That Word of God that has the power to transform every situation needs to be apparent. Younger men need to show this similar self-control, showing themselves as models of good deeds in every respect, to become true role models for others in action. Integrity in teaching, dignity and sound speech, that everything's supposed to be consistent. What we teach is supposed to be consistent with what we believe, what we say in all these contexts, so that opponents will be put to shame without anything bad to say about us. What a beautiful attribute that could be, that she or he was someone about whom no one could really ever say a bad word, because the person transcended every temptation to go low. This is a long list. Might seem a little bit overwhelming, but we don't have to do it on our own. So St. Paul tells that to Titus and tells it to us, saying, the grace of God has appeared, saving all and training us precisely to reject these godless ways and worldly desires, and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age. That God the Holy Spirit is going to help us to live precisely in this way, and how much we need it and our culture needs for us to respond to that gift. And then there is the reward. St. Paul says, as we await the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, words taken straight from the embolism after the Our Father that we repeat every day, that Master is not long delayed, but that Master is coming incarnate in our world every day with all his virtues, inviting us to a communion with him with all his virtues, making it capable for us to live this way from the inside. He gave himself, St. Paul says, to deliver us from all lawlessness, from all vice, to cleanse for himself a people as his own, eager to do good. Jesus is eager for us to do good, and he wants us to share that zeal. Today, as we come forward praying for our nation, we open ourselves up to this transforming power of the Lord. As he at the beginning of the day, before we have even done much, gives us a far greater reward than we would merit, even should we be martyred today. He gives us the down payment on the reward here. Let us embrace it. Let us let him transform it so that we can become agents of his kingdom and help our country. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.